Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 8, The Activities of the Prachetas.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Service, such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual.
Those who are actually engaged in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benedictions to his devotees, as indicated in this verse. We see that the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Prajnibhani. Om Namyamati Minandasya Ganandana Satya Chakshuram Vritam Yena Tasma Shri Guvay Namaha Vanchakalpata Vipiska Vipasindu Vayevcha Vajitanam Padmevyo Vaishnavya Mohana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Shri Adaita Gantara Shasti Gaura Bhakvinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's nice to be here with you again, to be at the temple, and now slowly but surely we're opening up a little bit more. So the translation again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of the King, I'm very much pleased by your friendly relationships amongst you. All of you are engaged in occupation. Devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. So the title I was thinking of today's class would be Real Friendship Unites Us in Krishna Consciousness. So real friendship unites us in Krishna Consciousness. So as Krishna Consciousness, as a Krishna Conscious person, our aim in life is simply to preach Krishna. That's all we want to do. Somehow or another we want to please Krishna. And he is pleased with the sons of King Prajnabharata, as we've seen here in his report, because they exhibited true friendship to Krishna. So this is our task. So over the last couple of classes there's been very nice classes about personalism and Mayavada philosophy and how we're personalist, as devotees are very much personalist. And we established that also in previous classes how God is a person. And to love someone you need to have reciprocation, it's a loving reciprocation. So God being a person, he's very friendly towards us, as it's pointed out here, that Krishna benedicts us if we are friendly towards him. So there's reciprocation. It's very hard from a Mayavada point of view or from an impersonalist point of view to love an empty room. To love the void. Oh, I love the room. There's no reciprocation, it's a personality. So Srila Prabhupada says there's only one goal, to serve Krishna to the best of one's ability. If there is some disagreement over service, such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. Those who are actually engaged in service of the Supreme Personality cannot be disunified in any circumstance. So this is a family. Krishna consciousness is a family. We're actually more a family in a sense than our material family. Because we continue on serving one another in spiritual enlightenment. We keep on growing in Krishna consciousness. And from time to time, there may be some disagreements. It can happen. And so in that circumstance, we still come together as a family. We come together, we organize. If there's been some offense committed, or there's been some argument, or there's been some fighting. This is one thing that really impressed me when I came to Krishna consciousness, and especially in the early days of Krishna consciousness, that it was a lot more volatile. There were things that were happening, there were disagreements. You don't see that happen now, although recently we had an incident here which was a little bit uncomfortable. But in the early days, there were a lot more volatile sort of disagreements. And being young, passionate Australians, we're very likely to jump at each other's throats. But the beauty of it was impressive to me as a young devotee, the way that after a disagreement happened, the person took the humble position and offered their obeisances, and the other person also offered their humble obeisances, and again, they were the best of friends. Which to me was very impressive. I was very impressed with that. Because in the material world, when you have an argument with someone, you hold grudges. And those grudges could stay with you for years and years and years, just festering. You know, and every time you see that person, you go, oh, I hate that person. Oh, you know,
something deep, deep sort of thing. So, but that doesn't happen with devotees. Devotees forgive and forget. You know, there may be some disagreement within the family members, but generally it is forgive and forget. So this is a really wonderful thing. In the material world, no such unity exists, as Prabhupada's pointing out, not even in the UN. We can see just recently with the events that are happening in the world today, you know, there are governments that are rebelling against one another, and someone doesn't like the UN, and another country doesn't like the UN, and will pull out of the WHO, you know, the World Health Organization, because I don't think we're catering to our interests, and so thereby I'm leaving this. And there's conflict. And this has always been the case. You know, in the turn of the century, there was a major world war. This was the first ever world war where all the nations were involved in fighting. So at the end of this war, it was horrific. Millions of people died. There was so much suffering. At the end of this war, they thought, we can't let this ever happen again. And so we have to unite. All the countries have to come together and we'll form a sort of an organization which counteracts any sort of disagreements we may have with one another, and we'll sort it out before ever starting another war like this, because there was so much pain and suffering to many, many people. And so they formed the League of Nations. The League of Nations only lasted for about 20 years maximum, and it just dissolved. And then World War II happened. And that was even worse than World War I. Again, there was this conflict happening. So and then after that, after World War II, they decided to let's try this again. We had the League of Nations in the early part of the century, but now we've got the United Nations. If we'll put an emphasis on united, that we're all united. But as Prabhupada is saying in the court, they can never be united, because there's so many different interests. And there's power play. You know, the top nations, the top five, they wanted the best position, even though they weren't in any way qualified, but they had to be the final decision makers on any policies that are made in the UN. So this doesn't work. Actually, at the present stage, the devotees are very much involved with the United Nations. I don't know if you're aware of that, but the devotees in the environmental area are very much at an office of the United Nations, and there are devotees that are actually dealing with matters on an international level through the United Nations, which is absolutely amazing how the movement has grown to such a level. So the nations all have different ambitions and goals. They're all striving for something else. How can I secure my own nation? We can see there's so much at the moment, you know, with people closing their borders and shutting out different trade between different nations and so on and so forth. So the activities that are involved there are just so ununifying. So back in the 70s, there was another war. And again, it was a major war, which was a possibility that would escalate to a major conflict internationally for another world war. And that was the Vietnam War. Although you may not think that was such a major war, but everybody was on tenterhooks whether there was going to be a conflict between China and America. And Russia was in the side, and Soviet Union was also there. So, and they had interest in North Vietnam, and the Western powers had influence in South Vietnam. And so it was like a mini world war happening there. So at that time, the devotees became very active, because it affected us. Personally, I was, because young men, when you turned 18, you were conscripted, and you would have to go to the war. A lot of my friends actually went. I was a little younger, and I was the next ballot to go before they changed the government here. So I was relieved. But other devotees had to go to Vietnam, and they suffered quite greatly mentally, with post-traumatic stress disorder and that. So it's not a pleasant thing. So anyway, at that time the devotees were very much active in the protest movement. but not in the way that the other devotees, there were other people were doing, like there were moratoriums where they would go in the city streets, like they're doing at the present stage with the protests that are happening. And they would march, we want an end to war, we want an end to war, we want to make love, not war, and all this kind of stuff. So I remember, as an 18-year-old, we went to a huge moratorium in the heart of the city, near Flinders Street. And if you think there were a lot of people for this protest they had last weekend, there were thousands and thousands of people protesting against the Vietnam War. Now the devotees took advantage of this situation and they produced a pamphlet called the Peace Formula. And the Peace Formula, actually, we used to go to these protests and we would hand out the flyer, this peace protest, which was the Krishna conscious answer to this unifying situation of war. And this was really a powerful thing. And we got a lot of devotees, a lot of people interested in Krishna consciousness because of the simple pamphlet. This was our preaching. This was our way of reaching people. So, as we've seen that recently we had this major protest about George Floyd, the person that was killed in America, and we had, that was concurrent with also the sentiments here in Australia about black deaths in custody. So there was huge protests and outcry. And had it not been for, like the fact that we are not allowed to do, so we have to have social distancing, if it was another time, that would have been a great opportunity to actually do something similar to the Peace Formula protest pamphlet that we handed out at that time. Our business as devotees is to present Krishna consciousness in whichever level we can. So being part of the international communications team, we had meetings every week. I need to tell you also that Tarabhadra Mataji is now the secretary for the international communications team, and she's doing a really wonderful job. So in this international communications team, we thought this was an oppressive situation, and somehow or other we have to make a comment about this. Because we can't just sit on the sidelines and watch things go on. You know, we have to make comments, like we did with the Peace Formula. Prabhupada was very supportive of us handing out pamphlets with the Peace Formula. So in a sense, we did the same sort of thing, but we didn't hand it out to people that were protesting, but online we distributed this. We formulated a statement, a Krishna conscious statement, on the affairs that are happening around the world as far as this George Floyd situation and Black Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter. So the statement was called Reviving Hope Against the Culture of Violence. And I won't read the whole of that, but I wanted to read some of that. So this was, again, we formulated this as around about six leaders that are involved in this. So that it starts off, why such violence? The Vedic scriptures describe this time as an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It is a time dominated by concepts of us versus them, white versus black, abused, and of increasing hatred and divisiveness. What can be done in the face of such divisiveness and suffering? Our Vaishnava philosophy teaches us to recognize that we are not black, white, brown, or any other color. We are spiritual beings, sons and daughters of the divine. Our exploitation of each other arises from forgetfulness of this deeper connection. Incensed by a blind and unfounded fear of the other. People are so fearful of the other. Second, it is incumbent upon us to root out the culture of violence that ails our society. The statistics are clear. Killing, violence, and abuse are an increasingly dominant aspect of American culture, but as it is here as well. Speaking out against that, we decry all those who cause violence against the black community. We, black community. We decry those who cause violence against other minorities, including Jews, Muslims, and Hindus, against people both brown and white. We call for the protection of all human beings and Mother Earth herself and all her children. Last, we must recognize that we are not the proprietors of this earth. Our planet is not here for us to claim or for us to make war over. The entire world is a gift of God. Our bodies, whatever color, are gifts of God. We should use this short time that we have in this life to seek spiritual solutions to a myriad of crises we face, and not blindly seek material objects for selfish gain. So this was delivered to the media in America in particular, because it was focused on the American. And I asked if I could also distribute this, and I've given it to the EC and some of our devotees. And I also sent it to our interfaith groups. You know how I'm involved with interfaith. So I sent it to our interfaith groups and also to the Hindu community. And the feedback I got from that, they were so impressed. Both the Hindu community wrote appraising emails back to me saying, we expect nothing less from the Hare Krishna movement, that you have such an open-hearted and wonderful concept of unity and love within the world. And also the interfaith community, all the different faith traditions were again very appreciative of our stand. And this is the duty of the Krishna consciousness movement. We have to start making a stand. We have to start pointing out the defects in this material world, and we have to make our point very clear to the public. In the past, we were very much active in writing things in newspapers. Because we were a new society back in the 70s, we could actually make comments to different things, and we would be written up in newspapers. Hare Krishna thinks that drug addiction is wrong, blah, 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 and different things. And we had a voice. And so that has sort of been tempered over the last couple of years. But we have a voice, and we should actually express it, that each one of us has the potential in somewhere or another to get a message out to people. Because this is what Prabhupada wants. And this is basically what we presented in that presentation for the International Communications Park. It was basically the peace formula again, written. Now the original peace formula comes from Bhagavad Gita, 528 in Bhagavad Gita, which is the sages know immediately the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pains of material suffering. That's Bhagavan Jagatata Sam Sarva Maheshwaram Suryam Sarva Bhutanam Yatham Nam Shanti, peace, Richiti. So this is basically what when they did that piece when we were flyer in the beginning, that's what they used, and again we use this. So it's all there. Prabhupada called this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. He actually called it the peace formula. So that's why we've used that and adopted that at that time in the 60s and 70s. So it seems appropriate to hear something from Prabhupada about how the world can be brought into a peace condition now that this COVID-19 a pandemic and even a war is happening. So Prabhupada says the great mistake of modern civilization is to encroach upon another's property as though it was their own, and thereby create unnecessary disturbances of the laws of nature. These laws are very strong. No living entity can violate them. Only one who is Krishna conscious can easily overcome the stringent laws of nature and thus become happy. So this whole COVID-19 pandemic is caused one way or another by unnecessary disturbances of the laws of nature. And there are many speculations as to what actually is causing this thing, but actually somehow or another it is a disturbance, an unnecessary disturbance of the laws of nature. So the violation and this pandemic is leading to a crisis. And the goal of life, as Prabhupada points out in this report, is to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. So this is what we have to do, that friendship, that love, which is an important part. It is not a one-way street. And sometimes we wonder, well, Krishna is so far, he's the Lord of all universes. And if we look out and describe there are universes, unlimited millions of universes, and there are unlimited living entities, and God, Krishna, is the controller of all these universes, why on earth would he reciprocate with me, this tiny little spot on this little planet, which is a blue dot in this universe, considering the universe of this galaxy, considering there are thousands of galaxies, thousands of universes, why would the Supreme Lord, who is the creator of all this, have anything to do with this little ant-like creature, the speck? But he does. Krishna reciprocates. Krishna reciprocates. And it was the thought of that when I first came to Krishna consciousness that I thought, wow, God will actually reciprocate with me. And if we follow the process, he does. And he becomes our dearest friend. Krishna says that I'll become your dearest friend. So this is what we strive for, you know. And when we started chanting Hare Krishna, there was a pop song at that stage. Well, my sweet Lord was there, and that was a really powerful thing. I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to be with you. So you're crying out to this supreme personality, the creator of this vast creation. And you're calling out, I really want to be with you. I mean, who are we? Who are we really to be with God? To see God? But yet we call out. And then there was another song by Ravi Shankar's wife called I Am Missing You. Another Krishna, I Am Missing You. And it was so soulful that when I heard that, I thought, boy, there's a possibility that, yeah, I may be able to connect with Krishna. And then we start the Hare Krishna process, the sadhana, the chanting, and straight away there is reciprocation. If there wasn't a reciprocation, if we didn't feel Krishna's friendship, if we didn't feel Krishna's love, there is no way that we could possibly keep chanting regularly, following the principles. That would be blind following and we would be in a delusion, but that doesn't happen for thousands and thousands of people. One person may be deluded by somebody, but we as a whole, as Krishna consciousness, we get a reciprocation from God's love and friendship in a very tangible way. We feel His love and friendship. So Krishna says, when we are Krishna's friends, you'll be peaceful. And you see that in devotees, they're peaceful. That's the first thing that people always say about a devotee if you come in contact in different areas within the material world, in different social situations. The first thing a peaceful person will say is, my, you're a peaceful person. You don't get too agitated about things. You know? You're a peaceful person. People see that in a devotee. So, how do we actually develop a greater friendship with Krishna? So Krishna's given the answer in his purport. You'll be very pleased if you are friendly among you. Friendly amongst yourselves. Develop friendships amongst each other. And as I said in the beginning, this is a family. This is a spiritual family. And this spiritual family is even more important than the material family. To the extent that we're willing to give up, even if our family, a material family, is inimical to us being Krishna conscious, we're willing to give them up. So, there's an interesting thing again from an interfaith point of view. Lord Jesus Christ says, love one another as I have loved you. So we have to learn how to love one another, because him being a representative of God, Shakshadosha Avatar, he gave love unlimitedly. He was like a via media for God's love, just as all the pure devotees are via media for God's love. And so by loving one another, he pleases. And Prabhupada said much the same things. So there are two don'ts in Krishna consciousness in regards to friendliness in Krishna consciousness. Yes, it's actually don'ts. The first one is, we don't want to be sentimental friendship. Sentimental friendship is friendship that's pertaining to the needs of the body. You know? Before I became a devotee, there are so many different groups out there that you think, oh, they're so friendly. You know, they'll do anything for you, they'll look after you. Oh, you know, like say for example, if you go to one of their functions, you come there and it's like, hi, how are you? Would you like a cup of tea? And it's like, and they'll do anything for you. But philosophically, they're completely empty. When it comes to actually serving God, they're lost. They don't have that understanding. So they're sickly sort of sweet. So our friendship is not one of sentiment. We have sentiment in as far as we want to look after the devotees, but we want to look after them that they become better devotees, that they are liberated from this material platform. So that is one area that we're not friendly. As far as over-sentimentality, it's not our way of doing things. The other one is, the other thing that we have to be careful, the other don't, is a lack of friendship. And this also is something that the devotees should be mindful of. They have to be friendly. They can't be so half-hearted or, you know, cold and fundamental that there is no reciprocation and loving exchange between people. And this was also the case very much in the early days as we're learning how to be Krishna conscious devotees. There were quite a few people that were very cold-hearted and lacked sentimentality, you know, like, I'll just get on with the service, and so, you know, someone was having a difficulty or some problem, and the answer wasn't, oh, Prabhu, how can I help you? Perhaps we can have a talk about the issue that you're suffering with. Oh, I'll just get on with the service, or just do your service, and just chant around. And no feeling. So that's also not the right thing to do. That's also something that is hard-hearted. To the extent also sometimes we have that in the Grihastha ashram. You know, there was no sentimentality, there was no affection in the Grihastha ashram. That people were just, you know, oh listen, you know, just, you know, don't talk to me. I'm very much, I'm very used to Prabhupada, to, you know, the wife and the husband were just like complete strangers, practically speaking, you know, and this was also not correct. And we had these seminars recently, Safety and Faith, where a lot of devotees were part involved with, and actually this neglect of one's emotion to one's partner can now be deemed as a means of family violence. If you just completely ignore your partner, or if you're completely oblivious to the needs of your partner, and just say, I'll get on with the life, we're just chanting Hare Krishna. It's not friendship. I know it sounds funny, but how often have you heard that? You know? And listen, Prabhu, I really have a problem, I'll just get on with it. Can't be bothered. Don't bring it on. I'm too busy. Don't interfere with me. So there has to be a little bit of friendship. Real friendship is consciousness means balance. There's a balance. No material sentimentality and no die-hard fundamentalism. So we're not overly gushy, you know. Oh, how are you? Oh, you look so nice. That's all false. You know, how do you feel? Oh, you've lost weight. You look so nice. It's all that. That's false sentimentality. The devotees don't go in for that. But the devotees do go, oh, Hare Prabhu, how are you? How's your son going? Oh, I heard you did this and that preaching. You know, have you got any problems? That's real devotee, not sentimentality. And we don't do the fundamentalist trip either. You know, where we're just, I am a rock, I am an island. You know, don't talk to me. The women are really, oh, no. You know, that kind of thing. That's not us as well. So it's a question of balance. And then when we have that balance of friendship in our lives, that quality of dasa dasa dasa, servant of the servant of the servant. I was actually, and I'm reminded of this every single day, because when I took initiation, you know, I mean, the reason why I got this name Bhakta was because of a situation that happened at the start of my devotional career. When Bhakti and I came to Krishna consciousness, we used to produce these candles. Does anybody know them? We made money by selling candles, Hawaiian candles. These are candles that are carved and they have these beautiful candles, very ornate, very, you know, really beautiful. And we used, just as an aside, we used to have a motto which was, it burns down the center and glows out the sides. So some of the Sankirtan devotees used to, because there were some mishaps with some of the candles, the candles were responsible for burning down old people's homes, but we won't go into that. So one of the things that used to happen was, they burned down, the devotees used to say this, they burned down the center and flowed down the sides. So the wax would go, anyway, so when I came to Krishna consciousness, they saw other guys got the potential, so they said, okay, you can go, instead of going out on Sankirtan selling the things, you go to the factory and start making them. So when I was making them, these guys, I mean, they must have just come off whatever, and they were pretty spaced out sort of guys that were running the show, you know, they were sort of dipping these candles and then they would take a break. The bogies. But in those days, it was just like a little difficult. So I got in there and I went, what the hell is going on here? I mean, we could be far more productive, you know. So I was really upset, you know, thinking, God, these guys are just so smack, you know. And they're not really putting their heart and soul into doing this service, you know. So I told the temple president, and at that stage, the spiritual master was there ready to initiate. And I was one of the initiates. And the spiritual, and Balaram said, who was the temple president, he said, come with me. So he took me up to see the guru, and the guru said, what's up? And I said, well, you know, I mean, I appreciate that we're making these candles. And it seems like, you know, we could make a lot of money from this to pay off the temple and so on and so forth. But they're not working to their full capacity. And he said, so what's your solution? He said, well, you know, for me, all I want to do is just serve the devotees. Right? I just want to serve the devotees. I mean, that's all I want to do. I'm easy. Right? So the guru said, okay, you manage it. I said, what? He said, no, you manage that factory. You want to serve the devotees? I'll tell you how to manage that factory. So these are all the Prabhupada disciples and devotees that were singing to me. And all of a sudden, I had to work in there as the manager. So this was fun. So then the initiation came, and we're sitting here. This is the fire over here and everything. So the spiritual master said, Bert, my name is Bert. Bert has told me that he wants to serve the devotees. That all that he really cares about is to serve the devotees. So I called him Bhaktivinoda. Servant. So this was how that comes about, but that is us, that is our duty, to be dasa, dasa, and dasa. So real Krishna consciousness is balanced. And the example is there with the prachetas. The prachetas were working in unity together, in service to Krishna. In the material world, everyone is envious of the other person. They, you know, oh God, how come he got that position? You know, I should have got that position. You know, in the workforce, right? It's like, what? I'm far more qualified than him. And there's envy and there's hatred and disunity and everybody's suffering. And I'm the enjoyer, actually. Everything should come to me. And then that's extended to my family and then my nation, you know. We should be having the best. We should be number one in the world. Why aren't we number one in the world anymore? You know, our current president of the United States. We're all making America great again. We're the best. You know, and it's frantic, you know, this whole thing. So we see in today's society that desire to actually lord it over someone else is the reason for conflict between the USA, between the Soviet Union, and Europe, and China, and so on and so forth. My skin, my race, my country. And from that, we see the frustration builds up in people. And when there is any opportunity to express that frustration, it's like a box of dynamite, you know? Everybody's just waiting. And then when there is a real conflict, and now's my chance to express, boom, it blasts out. And people do anything. They break into buildings, they set cars on light, they fight, you know, the propensity, the animal propensity comes out of people. Just because of this latent violence and pent-up strife. So when we become, when we devotees, we learn about spiritual friendship and love through spiritual knowledge. There you go. And we can establish wonderful friendships in that life. Guided by Guru Sadhana Shastra, we actually find great friendship. Prabhupada, from the purport, mentions here, this unity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Christian consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. So sometimes, because we condition souls, that material energy still comes in. You know, perhaps the power of prestige and false ego becomes a predominant sort of thing. And we've seen that in different areas in our society. You know, there's somebody that desperately wants a position in Krishna consciousness. And so they really strive for that, which is unfortunate, because the mind and the senses demand service. So they're listening to their mind. I want to become something. So, in today's society also, which is unfortunate, we see this unity within the devotees. If we go online, we see so many different blogs and websites and stuff which are criticizing devotees and bringing other devotees down. And it's sickening. It's really, really sickening. You know, and it's completely disrespectful. And we plead with devotees to just don't get caught up in that. You know, it's so exciting sometimes to see some blog, oh, you know, such and such a swami has got difficulties and he did this wrong and he did that wrong. And our nature, because we're still conditioned souls, is to, ooh, what did they say about that swami or about that person, you know? And we want to find out the gossip. So, as devotees, we should try as much as possible, when there's criticisms, that we avoid those sort of gossip areas. Because Krishna consciousness is, in essence, true friendliness. And true friendliness is developed through sadhana and purity. In the purity of our lives, we can actually develop true friendship. So, our true position is servant of the servant. That's our true position. And we can see from the Shastra how service is there, but we don't ask for advancement in some sort of position in Krishna consciousness. The example is given with the gopis and Radharani. The gopis, all they're interested in is simply to somehow or another facilitate that Radha and Krishna come together. Right? They want to see Radha and Krishna embrace. They don't want to personally embrace Radha and Krishna themselves. Although, in the Shastras and the different scriptures, we see that Krishna also embraces the other gopis. But it's not their desire. Their real desire is that they want to embrace, they want Radharani to embrace. So they make all the arrangements that Radha has the position of being with Krishna. And they'll do anything. Radharani is so merciful that she actually asks Krishna, you know that gopi, she's been helping to try and arrange for us to get together and she's done such a wonderful job, would you mind giving her a home? And unexpectedly, the gopi is then embraced by Krishna. She hasn't desired that, but the result is there. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness in our service, if we are simply encouraging one another in our Krishna consciousness, and that pleasing Krishna is the only thing we want. If there is an area of leadership or prominence, then the devotee doesn't strive for that, but Krishna will give that. This is just how it is. So, while we're in this world, our only business as devotees is to help one another aspire to be more and more Krishna conscious. And that's simply by purity and by simplicity, being very, very simple in our Krishna consciousness. There is no need to be too fanatic in Krishna consciousness. We have to be dedicated and we have to be very strict, but there's also a level of simplicity that has to be there. The classic example that's given, one of those many examples, but the example that I came across across recently was from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Tanapsons, actually, was a maidservant of Srivas, you know, Srivas' house. They had the Kirtan with Lord Chaitanya. Now, Srivas had a maidservant, and her name was Dugi. Anybody know what the word Dugi means?
Sad.
Miserable. Sad, right? So, she was a really poor girl, no prominence in society, practically invisible. So she was working at Srivasa's house, and what her service was when they had the big kirtans in Srivasa, when they were doing the kirtan continuously, she would make sure that the water was there for the devotees. So she would go to the Ganga, get pots of water, and make sure they're always there. And when the devotees were ecstatic with the kirtan, they needed a drink or they needed to bathe, the water was there for them. So that was her job. And all she wanted to do was just, nobody asked her to do this, she just did this, right? And she was so inconspicuous, so invisible, basically speaking, that she didn't want to inconvenience anybody, she didn't want to make a big deal about it. Oh, look, I'm bringing this water. Do you say I'm bringing the water? I said, I can't bring the water for you. No, nothing like that. She just did it, and they appreciated it. So one day Lord Chaitanya actually recognized and saw that she was doing this. And so he was so pleased with her that she reciprocated in love and friendship with the devotees that were dear to Lord Chaitanya and doing the kirtan, that he said, from this day forward I'm going to change your name. And he changed her name from Dukhi to Sukhi. And Sukhi means? Happiness. Happiness, yeah. So Lord Chaitanya gave Sukhi transcendental bliss, just by that simple service of providing the water. She wasn't Shastri-breeding wife, she wasn't a sadhaka, she was a simple old little lady who worked in the house as a maidservant, but she saw that the devotees were great elevated souls, and that she would just bring the water for their convenience. She didn't want any recognition for it, but Lord Chaitanya recognized. So Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya recognized those menial services that we do for others. And hers was then, she got love of Godhead from Lord Chaitanya himself. And then there are sadhus and sages that strive, academics that strive for years, lifetimes to get this, but her, with her simple service, got it immediately. So this is pure consciousness, letting go of the false ego and putting yourself aside, not being selfish. Selfishness is the thing that actually brings us down, and we have to check that at every moment. Is my action at this point in time a selfish act, or is it really genuinely something that I'm doing for the mercy of God and for the unity of our family and connecting with Krishna? So, and for that, if we have that, we should pray sincerely to the devotees that please you give me some sort of benediction that I can be less selfish, that I can also establish this sort of attitude. We have to pray sincerely like that. So it has been said that the devotees in this Kali Yuga are actually soldiers, that we are waging a war, that this war is against Maya, the war of material energy, that is our, and we're soldiers, we're all soldiers. And so in a war situation, you rely on your comrade in arms, don't you? You have to have, like if you're in the trenches and you're fighting, you want to know that your mates are behind you, also supporting you. You hear so many different events in wartime, where soldiers selfishly put themselves at risk for another. And so this is also required with us. We've got a war against Maya, so we should be very conscious that we need our association, we need the troops to back us up. And at this time of Krishna consciousness, we have this separation, which is really felt by the devotees. All the devotees feel the pangs of not having that association. So when we have it again, let's really pay close attention to it and really appreciate that friendship and that family and our comrades in arms, you know, fighting against mine. So within an army, there are different levels of friendship. In an army, you have the young recruit, you know, and if you're already an established member of the army, you help the younger devotee or the younger soldier, you know, by introducing them to Krishna consciousness. Let's just take that analogy a little further. If you introduce them, you help them, you encourage them, you give friendship to them as an older brother in the family of Krishna consciousness. So you look after them. Then you have those people that join at about the same time as you. They are your peers. And you have friendly relationship and jovial relationship. You can muck around a little bit more with them because we're all on the same level. There can be a little bit of roughhousing, and the devotees, they like to do a little bit of wrestling, not the ladies of course, but the men like to do a little bit of wrestling and jostling. So that's friendship in that way. And then you have the senior devotees. So they're the commanders, the chief, the lieutenants, the captains, and so on and so forth. So there has to be a level of respect. If you ever go to, I went to Makapanda one time, and you notice this differentiation straight away, you know, that lineage of superiority, and how they treat, you know, the senior devotee or the senior commander or something, it's like, you know, and yes sir, no sir. Like really, really, not that we require that, but there has to be a level of respect to the senior devotees as well. And so that connection allows us to develop good friendships and different standing. So even if, you know, I'm at the present stage, we're lacking that association because of COVID-19, we can't all come together, there can't be hundreds here, where we're dancing and chanting and up and down and hearing the holy name and just being waved, swept up the wave of love for God. We can't have that at the present stage. But we can still connect. And we connect through a very mystical process. And the mystical process is the chanting of our rounds. When we chant Hare Krishna, especially early in the morning, we link up mystically with all other devotees. We're not just alone. Not only are the other devotees there with us, but also Krishna's there. So, in a mystical way, we connect with one another when we chant Hare Krishna. It's a fascinating thing. It's beyond material conception of how this can happen. But when we chant, we actually feel that association with other devotees. That we're not alone just chanting. There are others in the world that are also chanting. So that is there. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that a person is insane if they think they can achieve Krishna consciousness without association. You know, sometimes I can do this by myself. I'm a Babaji, I just chant by myself. No, you can't. You need the association of devotees. Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying, you're actually insane if you think you can do this by yourself. We need each other. He says, actually, as an analogy, he says, the association of devotee is the walking stick of Vaishnava mercy. The walking stick of Vaishnava mercy. So that means they're the support for the Vaishnava, you know? So we desperately need association, and I'm so glad to be here to have your association here. So in the early days, Prabhupada encouraged competition, because competition is there as well. You know, in book distribution, in the marathons we used to have. So there's competition. And sometimes people used to think, well, competition is the be all and end all. But it wasn't a competition between each other. It shouldn't have been. It was a competition to please Krishna. We did so many things, like I was saying, the candles that we were doing, the marathons we used to have. We used to go to every place to sell candles and paintings and books and everything. And there would be some competition. And there was some sort of prestige to be number one, you know. And we had the scores read out, and, oh, back with us, you didn't have anything yet. You know, and there are other devotees. But if you could contend with that, you if you can hold that back, then that's actually good. There were some devotees who became envious of other devotees, and there was a competitive spirit, and that's all that mattered to them, you know, to be number one. And unfortunately, my friends at that time had left Krishna consciousness, those people that were striving so much for that glorification, you know. They're no longer devotees, which is really a shame. And they left. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj compares this material obsession of wanting prestige to the stool of the war. You know that one? Stool of the war. I mean, stool. The stool of the war is really obnoxious because they eat others' stool. So it's the stool of the stool. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said that. Srila Prabhupada gives a couple of basic sort of, and this is wanting prestige. This is how he put it. Prabhupada says this. How well you can, and he says this right at the end of his pastimes here on the planet. How well you cooperate with one another will determine how this movement grows up. We have to cooperate with one another. This movement is based on love and trust. That's what we're here for. So in the Limarita, if we read the Limarita, we see how Prabhupada was always most disturbed when devotees were fighting with one another. So we can't have that attitude. In a letter in 1970, Prabhupada wrote, "I have many times expressed my sympathy with the frustrated and unhappy younger generation of our country. It is our duty to teach them this formula of peace, getting back to that, and happiness by chanting the Maha Mantra. This is the business of the devotee. He himself finds the secret by simply loving Krishna. One automatically acquires love for all beings, and he takes it as his prime duty in life to spread this sublime knowledge to each and every one he meets. This is the duty of a devotee. We have to think of ways of how we can spread this love of God to each and every person that we meet." Which brings up a point which I feel I need to address. From talking with some devotees, some younger devotees, there seems to be a push by some in our community to push younger devotees to chant more and more rounds. I don't know if you're aware of this. Yeah. It's like they're pushing younger devotees to chant 64 rounds in a day. Yeah. And it's upsetting younger devotees. I can't understand that. This is not Prabhupada's move at all. And it requires, he required that we chant 16 rounds diligently, with purity and dedication. That's what he said. And then if we have extra time, certainly chant more. Chant a couple of extra rounds if you're here and there, or chant by singing or bhajan, whatever. He didn't emphasize that somehow or other we have to chant 64 rounds, and if you're not chanting 64 rounds, you're really not, mate, you haven't made the grade. And this is the mood that's coming across with some of the devotees. If you chant the 16 rounds with dedication and with complete purity as much as you can, Krishna will reciprocate. You will feel Krishna in the heart. You will feel Krishna's love in the heart. There's no doubt about that. But it doesn't mean that there is a competition between devotees as to how many rounds you can chant. Oh, look at me, I can chant 64 rounds. This is how I will, I'm so beautiful. Great devotee. This is false ego and not beneficial in our Krishna consciousness at all. It's just not there. This attitude of I'm better than you, it's not a friendly attitude. So we have an obligation as Hare Krishna devotees also in our daily practice to read Srila Prabhupada's books. We've got surveys that was just sent out by the BBT. How many times do you read Prabhupada's books? You know? And we have to really actually look at that. Don't worry so much about, oh, I've chanted 64 hours. Have you had the time to read an hour of Srila Prabhupada's books? When was the last time you actually listened to a video for a class on Srila Prabhupada? You know? Who's the founder of Acharya, who's the one that is the most merciful in giving us this beautiful friendship and family. He's the head of the family. When was the last time we actually listened to a class of Srila Prabhupada? So don't worry so much about chanting 64 hours. Become more dedicated to lining up with the acharyas, listening to advice of Guru Maharaj or others. So, you know, that's important. And the most important thing is preaching. Presenting this fabulous message of love of God to the broader community, like we did with the Peace Formula. Thinking of ways in which we can actually connect with people to give them this panacea to this pandemic of material existence. That's our job. When we joined this family, when we joined this army, there was a definite enemy that we agreed to fight. And that enemy is Maya, who is deluding so many innocent individuals that we can actually help. So we have to think of ways in which, in a friendly way, we can actually present Krishna consciousness. So go out and preach. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the final chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that person that presents Bhagavad Gita, that person is most dear to me. We want Krishna's friendship. He said in Bhagavad Gita, if you want my friendship, do this. And so think of ways, how we can do it. This is interesting. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once surprised his audience by saying that shallow thinkers appreciate Vrindavan, the Babaji, you know? But a man of real bhajan, real strength, real divine aspiration, really understanding the connection with Krishna, will aspire to live in Kurukshetra. He noted that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after visiting many places of pilgrimage, remarked, "I would like to spend my last days of my life at Kurukshetra." Why Kurukshetra? Why Kurukshetra? It's a battlefield. We're on a battlefield of material existence, and we fight the ignorance that's in the world today by getting the message out to all the four conditioned souls. It's an emergency. It is an emergency. Srila Prabhupada was saying, service now, samadhi later. Don't worry about chanting 64 rounds. If you can chant more, well, good. Chant good 16 rounds and go out and serve. Go out and preach. You know, some people say, back at the time of the Vietnam War, just to give you a little background brief, we were on the brink of an atomic war, which would have meant the destruction of the whole world, practically speaking. A lot of devotees understand that it was because of Prabhupada coming to the West and instigating this Hare Krishna movement and thousands of devotees chanting Hare Krishna that actually changed the destiny of this world. We're again hitting this sort of a desperate sort of situation, emergency. It's always an emergency situation. We need devotees to be intelligent. How can I spread Krishna consciousness? And that can be done in so many ways. It doesn't need to be on a big, big scale. It just means being friendly and offering Krishna consciousness to your work colleagues. Becoming innovative. How can I become more Krishna conscious? Using the internet. You know, I'm so impressed with, say, someone like Ajahn, who's putting up, what is he called, the natural mentor or something, some really innocuous sort of term. What is it? Something mentor. And he just speaks about Krishna consciousness in a very basic way. And he reaches hundreds of people. It affects their heart. So we have to think of really interesting ways that we can present Krishna consciousness, working within our community, distributing books to those that we can distribute books to. That's our duty. That's the war that we sign up for. Not that we're sitting in our home in front of our lovely deities and chanting 64 rounds. That's not it. Prabhupada wants us to go out and preach and have the armor to be able to do that. What's the armor? What's the weaponry? It's the knowledge that Prabhupada has given. Reading Prabhupada's books, having bhajan, you know, a service and working as a friendly team together to present Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wants. So, this is of utmost importance, I feel, that we become aware of that. It was just recently, I was just speaking to my mom on the group. Just like, say, for example, due to this COVID-19, we did this meal distribution thing, you know. And he was saying, you know, I get so many people writing their comments as to how much they're benefiting by us distributing prasadam to so many people. It's about 100 people a day now that we're distributing, right? And he said that the dropout rate is practically zero. Once a person has had prasadam, that's it, baby. I'll want that every night. You know? And the notes that he gets on people's appreciation of that service, which is basically a war tactic from the Hare Krishna movement. Prasadam is our secret weapon. We know that. You know? That distribution of the notes that he gets back. One person wrote recently, just told me, just before class, said one person wrote him and he said, you know, prior to actually getting this meal on a regular basis, I had severe bowel problems. Severe bowel problems. Illnesses. After taking your prasadam over a period of time, number one, my bowel condition has completely cleared up, and I'm now vegetarian. And I'll never go back to eating meat. You know, that's preaching. That's powerful. We've had an impact on one person's soul. So he then thinks, this is the mind of that person. He would then think, they were right about this. It has helped me in this physical condition. What other knowledge do they have? And then we give them the source of Krishna consciousness, introducing them to Bhagavad Gita, introducing them to the Shastra, introducing them to chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is what's required of us. And this is exciting. That gives us life. That brings life to the family of devotees. Not that we're forcing people to chant 64 rounds and say, well, if you're not chanting, you're not a devotee. That's not us. We're a preaching mission. You know? So this was a bit disturbing to me when I heard this because it was affecting young devotees. And I want to make it clear that, yes, you have to chant good 16 rounds, and if you can chant extra, well and good. But there is no need to go to the ends to chant 64 rounds just because you can do it. There are many, many other things that we have to do in Krishna consciousness. So I'll finish up with the last quote of Srila Prabhupada. The power of friendship is limited. Although one claims to be a friend, he cannot be a friend unlimitedly. There are unlimited numbers of living entities, and our resources are limited. Therefore, we cannot be of any real benefit to people in general. The best service for people in general is to awaken them to Krishna consciousness so that they may know that the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, the supreme friend is Krishna. Then this illusory dream of lording it over the material nature will vanish. And that's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.27.4. So I'll just recap what I was talking about today. Today's topic was real friendship unites us in Krishna consciousness. I mentioned the peace formula and how we can still make an impact in today's society, thinking of different ways of being innovative as to how we can approach people. The two don'ts in Krishna consciousness in regards to friendship, which were what? The two don'ts. Anybody? The two don'ts in Krishna consciousness about friendship.
Sentimental.
What do you mean by sentimental?
Like, just be friendship on the bottom of the phone.
Right, very good. And the other one?
No fanaticism.
Very good, thank you very much. And the devotee friendship means that one is the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And association with devotees is so important. Chanting 16 good rounds in service of preaching, and don't push younger devotees to chant more. Waging war on Maya, that's our job. And be like the Pachetas. This whole exercise is there. Krishna is saying, be like the Pachetas, and I will benedict you. What is the greatest benediction? Like Sukhiga, pure love of God. It's right there. It's almost there. You can almost feel it. When you chant Hare Krishna dedicatedly, when you follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and you chant dedicatedly, you can almost feel it. God, I'm almost there. I can feel it. It's coming. Krishna's bliss, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's benediction is there. just a little bit more, just a little bit more like that. That's what we need. The Lord will reciprocate loving friendship transcendentally. It is there for us to have. I'll stop here. Any comments or questions or approvals? Well, that's good. Thank you very much. I enjoy your association. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.